Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So, continuing my coverage of AWE past and present, today's episode is with Scott Myers. He's the vice president of hardware engineering at Snap. So he's basically in charge of producing the Snap spectacles. Had a chance to sit down to him and just get a bit of a state of the union and what's been happening in the ecosystem since they first announced this back at the Snap Partner Summit last September. And also just to hear, like, they've announced that they're actually going to be releasing it sometime in next year in 2026. And they also were announcing other things there, like this partnership with Niantic Spatial, which I dive into much more detail in the conversation with Niantic Spatial here at the end of the series. And yeah, I think just generally the Snap spectacles I saw everywhere, like all over the floor, lots of experiences that people were doing. And it seems like to be a pretty capable, surprisingly capable. I mean, like if you look at the HoloLens 1 and HoloLens 2, it feels like it's in some ways like on par with what we'd seen previously with some of these different devices. And it's such a smaller form factor and kind of like defying the odds in terms of what I would expect it to be able to be capable of. But I think a lot of people have a similar type of reaction to see, like, it's a really good, like, first step for trying to prototype some of these different types of social, outdoor types of experiences. A lot of the different devices have not been tuned for, like, collaborative, social, outdoor experiences. And so I think it's a niche that, again, is going to be going back into my previous conversation, talking around the location-based entertainment context, where it probably doesn't really make much sense for the consumers to be having access to these things. But they are launching it, and it's likely going to be used in these different enterprise contexts. And also, they're doing their own homegrown game engine. They're not using Unity or anything else. They're using the Snap Studio. And there were some rumblings that they were looking at things like OpenXR and these more web standards and browser-based types of experiences, so WebXR, but we didn't get into that too much or any news that's being announced in terms of other ways of producing content that could be compatible with the Snap spectacles. But for right now, it's only on the Snap Studio. So it seems like to be like a really exciting new platform that seems to be marking this moment with the consumer launch of that, starting into this new phase of where these kind of XR technologies are going to be going here in the future with these more kind of glasses form factor, augmented reality with optical see-through types of experiences. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Scott happened on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025 at Augmented World Expo in Long Beach, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
My name is Scott Myers. I lead spectacles development at Snap, working on see-through immersive augmented reality glasses.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
I'm a mechanical engineer by training, but I look after all aspects, so all the hardware, all the software, all the product, and the operations as well.
Great. So I know there's been some announcements that were made today in terms of what's coming next for spectacles. So what can you say in terms of where spectacles is going to be going next and when it's going to be launching and what was being announced today?
So we announced today that we are going to ship a spectacles for general consumers in 2026 based on what we're building today with our version 5 spectacles, which are available today at spectacles.com. And, you know, the experiences people develop today for those spectacles will be compatible with our commercial version next year.
Great. So I know that at the Snap Partner Summit, where you were announcing the spectacles and giving a lot of demos for the first time with a lot of creators that had been coming in and starting to prototype and work with it, just curious to hear, like, how's it been going with other people creating stuff and what type of stuff you're seeing? And yeah, how do you start to evaluate the progress you've seen so far?
So we've been shipping to developers for a little over around 9 months right now, and it's just been a phenomenal learning with them. We have very direct conversations with them on multiple different platforms, just getting that live feedback, exactly how they want the features implemented so that they can be most useful. And what we're starting to see is the quality of the experiences are improving dramatically. The pitches I've been getting, you know, I'm relatively cheap with my personal money, and I would invest in some of them myself, which is just exactly where we want this market to be at this time. It's really been amazing.
What are some of the metrics that you look at in terms of like evaluating how things are going?
We look at how they're being used, how they're being received, how much people are reacting on different social channels about, like, you know, we love seeing developers celebrating other developers. We have our Spectacles Reddit channel that anybody can go see, like, what's happening live in the community at that moment. And it's been like surprisingly active, even to me, where we just see people chiming in, answering each other's questions, and really advancing the state of the art of development within Lens Studio.
Can you speak about some of the more compelling use cases that you've seen so far, either experiences or in certain contexts where you see there's a good fit for the affordances of the Snap Spectacles?
Yeah. So the things that I think I'm like personally most excited about right now are the developers who are using AI in new and interesting ways. So we have a lens called Super Travel, which is by Gowa. And what you do is, as you're in your day-to-day, like imagine you're traveling and you see like a label in a foreign language, you do a simple pinch movement to take a picture of that label and it will translate for you live. And I think that's just so, I travel a lot myself, just given the nature of my role. And I'm often in situations where I don't speak a lick of the language that we see, but being able to interact with that content as if you were a local, I think is super powerful.
Now, one of the concerns around the Snap Spectacles was the battery life in terms of like how long would you be able to use it for different experiences. And I think, you know, one response could be that you could just carry around a battery and tether it. But just curious to hear a little bit more if you foresee that most of the use cases will be like you put them on when you want to use them, or if you foresee people carrying around a battery and tethering it, or if you feel like it'll be more context specific so that you expect when people are going to use the spectacles, they're going to maybe have them off for most of the time and turn them on when they need them, or yeah, just kind of negotiating the limited energy resources and what kind of use cases that you have seen already with the developers.
Amazing. So I think it's important to make sure we're comparing against comparables. There's really nothing else like spectacles on the market today. We're talking immersive augmented reality glasses that are actually a glasses form factor. And so, you know, there are other products on the market where they don't have a battery at all and you have to carry a battery pack. These allow you to roam freely. And yeah, if you want to go deeper, want to use them more, you can definitely plug them in. But I find that we're at a really good sweet spot of usability with the battery life we do have.
So we're here at Augmented World Expo, and you have quite an extensive exhibition space here on the second floor, right out in front of the main hall. So maybe you just describe a little bit about what type of things that you're doing and showing here in terms of demos or other experiences to really expose the wider XR community to what you're doing here at Snap.
We think what we have is a pretty unique sweet spot in the middle of, you know, these big headsets that do maybe pass-through VR and these smart glasses that are audio only or camera only and don't have displays. And even, you know, we know things are coming with displays, but they're more heads-up displays. We're talking about really immersive augmented reality. And so it was very, very important for us to showcase what this platform is capable to this audience here. So we have a game called Sightcraft, which is a collaborative multiplayer game that I think maybe you just got to try. We have a demo station to help people understand Lens Studio, which is our free end-to-end AR development tool. We have multiple little setups to have people showcase not just lenses that we've developed, but the lenses our community has developed. Like we have an AI lens called Wisp World, where it's a fun take on just exploring your space, where it leverages real objects in your space to make it a game. And so we're trying to showcase a lot of different use cases in a way that this audience here can really understand. And I think it's been going pretty well. It's quite crowded here.
So one of the other innovations I think that you're doing here at Snap is that the way that people get access to the developer kit is that there's like a monthly subscription fee that is maybe a little bit less than the asking price for a lot of the other XR devices to buy. So I'm just curious to hear a little bit more around how that type of more subscription-based kind of splitting up the cost over a period of time and, you know, how that's been going and if you plan on continuing that as you move into consumer launch.
Amazing. So one of the things that was most important to us was getting access to the right people. We don't want it to be just somebody who can afford a $1,000+ device. We want it to be more accessible to that student developer who's thinking about how to build their business going forward. So the other aspect of this is we are now on our fifth major software update where we are adding significant value over time. And that was always part of the plan, was just to grow the value over time. And so that is reflected in the monthly subscription.
And then when you move into consumer, is the plan to go to a similar type of subscription model?
We're not really talking about the way we're going to bring this to market just yet, just that it's coming next year.
Okay. So I know that at the Oregon Reality Lab, we've had a number of like the SNAP Scholar program where you have like different collaborations with different academic or research institutions. Maybe you just talk about some of the different collaborations you've been doing here with the SNAP Spectacles.
We have been having a lot of success taking spectacles to students. We have done multiple hackathons over the last couple months where people are winning not only our own bracket, but also overall or other brackets with spectacles, because it really is this unique proposition. We've also started a design course at Stanford where I think it's 40 devices available to students to go build collaborative team design projects, and we've been seeing some really amazing stuff out of them.
I think one of the other aspects is the connected lenses or having like more social AR experiences. And at the SNAP Partner Summit, there was the As Devlin experience that was called Council that was a little bit more of like a community ritual, but it was a shared AR space with lots of people using it. And I think that would lean more into like a location-based entertainment context where you have maybe a vendor that has the devices where people can come in and have an experience that's a shared experience. And so I'm just curious to hear a little bit more around what you've started to see with the connected lenses and having shared augmented reality experiences.
So one of the things we're trying to do is make computing a bit more human. And part of being human is interacting with others. So that's how we design spectacles. They're see-through, so you can see eyes. That's part of how you communicate. They're indoors and outdoors, exactly where you want to be. Connected lenses is one of my favorite things about spectacles because it's a new experience every time. I kind of liken it to my experience growing up playing GoldenEye for Nintendo 64, where the game itself was okay, but the best part of it was the multiplayer, and it just kept me coming back over and over and over again because it's a different thing every single time. So that's kind of what we see with connected lenses, and I think you'll see us start to be out there a lot more in public with these location-based experiences. Like we have an example here called Sitecraft, which is, I think, pretty fun, and that's just a start. But we'll see more and more and more of that, especially on our way to, as more people have them, there's opportunities for more spontaneous, oh, we both have spectacles, let's interact together.
And I know that Niantic has been on the forefront of a lot of these augmented reality gaming. Now they're Niantic Spatial, you know, focusing maybe a little bit more on the mapping aspects. But I'm curious if you could speak a little bit around like the other announcements that were made today in terms of the collaboration that is with Niantic in terms of doing more spatial maps in collaboration with Snap in terms of being able to do different types of virtual positioning systems with some of their Niantic Spatial technologies and how that might be starting to be used with the Snap Spectacles.
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned earlier, like we're very into being indoors and outdoors. And one of the things about being outdoors is you want to know what's around you. So our partnership with Niantic Spatial is about bringing VPS, visual positioning system, to spectacles, just using all the collective data that we see as we capture images in the real world.
And I haven't had a chance to try their demo. I'm going to be doing it on Thursday. So just curious if you've had a chance to do their demo that they're showing here and some of your thoughts of it might be.
I had a chance to do their private demo. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it here just to have my own thoughts on it. And so, yeah, what are some of the other, in terms of the markets, it seems like location-based entertainment seems to be one that would be a place where you'd have some real thriving type of experiences with the Snap Spectacles. Just curious to hear a little bit around if you've started to explore that on other aspects of what's happening in France. I know I was talking to someone at the Partner Summit from France that was talking around some of the different collaborations with museums. So just curious to hear what kind of distribution options or other potential partnerships you've started to look into for folks to see the Snap Spectacles in the context of location-based entertainment.
I think one of the things we're really excited to do is share this with the world. And so some of that is going to where people are. So the location-based concepts that we're showing here, museums as well. We were at a museum, and we showed a little bit of this at Evan's keynote earlier today. Like we were looking at a dinosaur skeleton, and you could just keep asking the spatial intelligence more and more questions about this and just learn more and more details to suit your exact need in that moment. So it isn't a canned class on this dinosaur skeleton. It is what you want to know in that moment, what you're most interested in, which we think is super powerful.
So it seems like artificial intelligence is a big intersection where there are more and more artificial intelligence being blended into XR technologies. At the hackathon that was during the Lens Fest, right after the Stat Partner Summit, there were a number of people that tried to use some of the different machine learning, but it was like they were having some bugs and weren't able to really push that forward yet. But I'm just curious to hear some updates on what type of support you've had for either custom machine learning models, or what you've started to see on the realm of machine learning and at the cross-section of the spectacles.
Well, I think underlying almost all of the UX is a bunch of machine learning, just like the hand trackers themselves. That's a form of it. And again, we've been learning a lot from our developers. We're on our fifth generation now. Some of the new APIs we announced today, one of them is called Depth Mapper, which is a way that developers can give spatial context to AI, which is why we call it spatial intelligence, and have the content interact with the real world. So as an example, I am looking at a flower on a table right now. I can send that image up to the AI. I can keep walking around, and not only will the AI understand the frame that we sent it, it'll understand how I've moved since then, so that it can overlay, I think it's a daisy on the table right now, that this is a daisy, it is right here, even as I keep walking. I think that is really powerful. Additionally, we've made Snap 3D, which is our generative AI element, where you can just say, hey, I would like to see a yellow daisy, and it will generate a flower for you that if you and I were in a connected lens together, we could interact with together and really talk about it and experience.
Do you have any favorite, personal favorite lenses or experiences you've had in the spectacles so far?
It's funny. My personal favorite is Beatboxer, which is a boxing lens that really stresses the limits of hand tracking because you're literally punching full speed. And I like it because it really showcases the power of true augmentation, where we are overlaying your physical hands with digital boxing gloves and you interact with content. Our hardest levels, I am not afraid to admit that, like, I personally develop a sweat playing, so it's also productive.
Yeah, certainly fitness is a big success area for XR. I even saw some people boxing in the air, doing some shadow boxing or playing the beatboxing here.
One of the things that when you have glasses that are truly standalone, that are indoors and outdoors, really immersive, fitness becomes inevitable. We have been seeing so much success just in running around, playing basketball. We showed a yoga lens downstairs just recently where the AI looks at what you're doing, feeds that to a AI, and it gives you live guidance on how to adjust your leg or your arm to get the pose a little bit better. So I think there's just so much power there. And like I said, fitness just becomes inevitable.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the new APIs. Are there any other new things that you're announcing for developers here at AWE?
So we're empowering our location-based partners with tools required to manage a venue like this. We have over 100 spectacles deployed, and keeping them all charged, keeping them all up to date on software. We have another thing called guided mode, which allows you to lock the spectacles to a specific lens so you don't have to interact with the lens explorer. These are just tools that are direct response feedback to our developer community to make their lives easier and more productive as they go build businesses with spectacles.
Awesome. And finally, what do you see as the ultimate potential for augmented reality and spatial computing and what it might be able to enable?
Sure. So when you have glasses on your face, they see the world from your perspective. They hear the world from your perspective. They present the world with the displays. I think it is the most wearable form of technology. So as we continue to build this, what we're going to see is more and more people adopting glasses. Like, I wear glasses, you wear glasses. We're already used to wearing glasses, and it'll be a natural step for us first. And as the capabilities increase, people get more comfortable with them, we'll see more and more people adopt glasses as the primary mode of computing.
Anything else left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
Come try spectacles. They're super fun.
Awesome. Well, it's super exciting to see all the different stuff that you have here at AWE and being one of the top sponsors and seeing all the different exhibits. I think also just walking around the floor, or just seeing people like trying out the spectacles, and it just feels like it's kind of gone viral here at Augmented World Expo. I'm seeing like everywhere I walk, I'm seeing someone trying them out. So yeah, just really excited to see the consumer launch coming here next year. And yeah, just really appreciate hearing a little bit more about where it's at so far, that's 9 months in, and where you see it going here in the future. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.